Okay. If you remember what we kind of went over last week, we'll be picking up in chapter 6. We'll be where we'll be at in the book of Revelation. But as we're going forward, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's kind of hard for people to understand the book of Revelation, and it's two reasons. Some of it is a literal meaning, and some of it's symbolic. And it's hard for us to digest when it's being symbolic, when it's being literal, so it's kind of hard for each of us to get that. But what I'm asking you to do is you're going to hear some things that might challenge what's in your mind, okay? Or it might not be what you've always been taught, so to speak, is what I'm trying to get at. Point being is, the best way to understand the book of Revelation, in my opinion, if I had to give anybody, and I don't know everything, I promise you, I'd be the first to tell you that. But before you can begin to understand the Scripture, you have to first be willing to, don't forget everything you've always been taught, by any means. Don't ever do that, okay? But let's allow the Scripture to define what we believe. Not because, well, I was taught this when I was a kid. This point of view, you know, I was taught as a kid. Because that might have been well-intentioned. That might have been a something that, you know, nobody's really intended. But I know from a kid, what I was taught growing up was one thing. But when I start, Vicki, trying to lay it out in Scripture about certain things in the book of Revelation, I can't find it. And matter of fact, in some ways, it absolutely is the opposite of what I was told. So that being said, let's allow the Scripture to kind of take us there, okay? If somebody don't mind to pull up chapter 6 of the book of Revelation for me. Anybody got it there? Okay. Somebody care to grab the microphone for me real quick? I'm going to ask somebody to read for me. Anybody got a good voice? Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Starting with verse 1.
Yes.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while.
That verse right there, finish that verse up right there, Vicki.
For a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
Amen. How many people have heard the terminology, the four horsemen of the apocalypse? You've heard it? Matter of fact, years ago, there was a sports writer actually talked about the four horsemen. in Notre Dame, they had a famous backfield years and years and years ago, back when they had leather helmets, okay, that they actually used that term from the scripture, meaning whenever Notre Dame showed up, it brought the four horsemen. In other words, there was certain doom, your team wasn't going to win, you were beat, in other words. So the four horsemen of the apocalypse is what Vicki read about, and a lot of people wonder what that's about. As we talked last week, if you remember, we talked about the rapture of the church and what's going to begin to happen when we first get to heaven with the rapture of the church. And we kind of culminated in we're going to have church up in heaven. We're going to have worship. The first thing we're going to do when we get there is we're going to see Jesus revealed as the Lamb of God. Each one of us are going to be able to see Him, Leanne, as He was. We're actually going to be able to look on His face and see Him who died for us. That's the first thing that takes place when we get there. Now, as you begin to read into the Scripture, there's going to be a few things that happen. And some of the hardest things for us to understand about the book of Revelation is sometimes in one chapter it may be talking about something that's happening in heaven. Then you go to the next chapter and they're talking about something happening in earth. And then we go, I'm kind of lost. What's going on? This, that, and another. And that's what we're going to try to take our time and get through. So as Sister Vicki read, what I want you to understand is Jesus has taken the book and He begins to open the seals. Okay, that book that Jesus took literally, there was only one that was found worthy to open that book and to loosen those seals. And who was it? It was the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to look upon and to open that book. What is that book? That book is God's plan. God's entire plan from beginning to end. There was only one person that was found worthy. So in other words, the book that the adversary don't know. So you got to keep that in mind. Satan knows the Bible. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. Satan knows the Bible, but there are certain things that Satan does not know. There are certain mysteries that God Himself held for Himself, one of it being the church. Remember, as we talked last week, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Satan didn't know there was going to be a church. Matter of fact, the early church didn't know that there was going to be a big gap in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His coming. Because remember how, as we talked, those in Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonians, they were wondering, mommy and daddy's done passed away. What's going to happen now if the Lord comes back? Or have they missed their opportunity? Because everybody back in those days thought Jesus was coming before they died, Pat. They thought for sure He was coming. They could not see that 2,000-year gap that we're in right now. Okay, so it's important to understand that. But now what's happening as Jesus begins to open that seal, the plan of God, Jesus is opening the seals in heaven. Now things start happening on earth. As Vicki began to read there, the white horse, he that sat upon the white horse, he had a crown on his head and he had a bow. But did anybody catch what was missing? There was one thing that was missing. Brother Joe, you own a hardware store. You sell probably plenty of bows when the time comes. But if you don't sell arrows, what good is the bow? So in other words, it's a source of power, okay? He's got a crown that tells he's got some authority, he's got power, he's got might, but he's not going to do it militarily, okay? He's got power, he's got might, but he doesn't do it through war. As the man on the white horse is revealed, the Antichrist, shortly after the church is taken out of here, he will begin his ascension. Now, I've had people ask me all the time, do you think he's alive today? It's possible. Do I think he'll be revealed before the church is gone? Probably not, no. But do I think it could be to the point that some Christians may have an inkling, Vicki, to where like, man, ain't something right with that guy. There's something, I can't quite put my finger on it. Something in my spirit don't bear witness with me really well about that guy right there. He's going to be a political leader that starts rising up. He's going to gain influence, okay? But after the church is gone, then guess what? He gains a whole lot of influence very fast. And the reason that is in the Scripture, because I wanted to get to this. There's a very important Scripture that I'm going to read. It's in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2. And it's important for you to understand this Scripture. And here's what Paul is saying. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. This is ESV, by the way. Either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Now, we're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, in other words, he can't come back until this man of lawlessness is revealed, and the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was with you still, that I told you these things? And you know that what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. So, guess what? How many of you know that the Antichrist is going to be powerful? Amen? Okay? He's going to deceive the nations. But there's a power on this earth right now that far exceeds the power of the Antichrist. There's a power on this earth that far exceeds the power of Satan. And you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in every single believer. So for those people that wonder, will the church be here? Paul is saying there's going to be a restrainer that has to be taken out of the way before the Antichrist can rise to power. Why would that be? Because, Sam, Jesus is more powerful than Satan. Plain and simple, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If the Lord would allow that to happen, you could have to almost throw away a lot of the New Testament. And we know that's not going to come to pass. So in other words, I asked some of you to read Matthew 24. I don't know if you got a chance to. But the reason I did that is it goes along with 1 Thessalonians right here. That man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to be revealed. He's going to start raising up. He's going to start coming in power. And the culmination or the epitome of his power is going to be about the middle of the tribulation period. And this is what Paul's speaking of here. When in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. That's what Jesus warned them. Okay, Jesus was talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to the church. Matthew 24 is not to the church. It's to the Jews. Okay, it's not to the church. The church is still a mystery. The people did not know what the church is until the day of Pentecost. Nobody knows. Peter didn't know what the church was going to be until the day of Pentecost. It's important to understand that. So when we try to grab the church and put her right here, guys, the church wasn't revealed until the New Testament. The prophets had no idea that there was going to be a church. They just had no clue. But in other words, what Jesus is saying is exactly what Paul is saying here. And you know, as Scripture comes, if you've been coming here any time at all, Scripture should be rightly divided, and it should go together, shouldn't it, Pastor? Just like that. There shouldn't be something way out here in left field, something out here in right field, and you ain't got a center fielder connecting the two. That don't make a bit of sense. So what's going to happen is, as he continues to rise, and we'll talk about it as we go on, as he continues to rise, there's going to be a point in the middle of the tribulation period, like Jesus said, that he's going to walk into the temple that's built in Jerusalem, the temple of God, as Paul said, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. That's what he's going to do, okay? At the 3.5-year period in the book of Revelation, he's going to say, I'm God, worship me. And he's even going to set up an image. The false prophet will set up an image for him to be worshipped. At that point, Jesus tells them, he that's in Judea, let him flee into the mountains. Because Jesus, what he's warning the Jews is, when that happens, don't go home to even take nothing. Because, and the only way I could say it for us to understand is, this guy's going to make Hitler look like a choir boy to the Jews. That's how bad it's going to be. He's going to turn his total wrath against the Jews. So as we're talking about Thessalonians here and what Vicki read, that man that's going to rise up, that first man that's going to rise up, the Antichrist on the white horse, what he's going to eventually do, he's going to try to destroy the nation of Israel. He is going to go into the temple, a rebuilt temple. And do you see a temple there now? Nope. There's no temple there right now. So what's that tell me, Teresa? There's got to be one built. There's got to be one built. And there's not one built right now. Okay? Anybody care to guess how long it takes for them to build that temple in Jerusalem? According good job. It wouldn't matter how fast you could build it. You have to consecrate the vessels. You have to do it in a timely pattern. In other words, if you could have it built in 2 weeks, it wouldn't matter. The earliest you could worship is 3.5 years. And guess what? 3.5 years and 3.5 years is what the book of Revelation is broke up into. The first being the tribulation and the second being the great tribulation. And at that middle of the point, the Bible's telling us that there's going to be a certain man that walks in that temple and says, I am God, worship me. And that's this man on this white horse that Vicki told about. As Vicki read it, that's who we're talking about. And until the restrainer is taken out of the way, until the church is gone, until the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer is no longer pushing him back, he can't have free reign. We all know, according to John in his epistles, that the spirit of Antichrist is at work today. It's back in John's day. Anything that says, I am Christ, anything that says that there's more than one way to God has the spirit of Antichrist behind it. There's a lot of religions in this world that claim that they could be to God. But there's only one way to God, and that's through the Son. If you try to come up any other way than through Jesus Christ, what's the Bible call you? A thief and a robber. Okay? It doesn't matter what anybody says. It don't matter what a politician says. Can I tell you something? When it comes to the last days, when it comes to everybody standing before the Lord is not going to ask Donald Trump's opinion on anything. He's not going to ask George Washington's opinion on anything. He's not going to ask the Prime Minister of Israel's opinion on anything, or the President of Russia. Jesus knows all things. He's the supreme authority, supreme power. So what begins happening is, soon as that seal begins to unleash, now the calamities are going to begin to happen on planet Earth. And as Vicki was reading, the first thing being is that man of sin starts his ascension. So he starts rising up politically. Maybe he scores some wins. But I've also, look, when I say this, I don't want you to think I think this guy's the Antichrist, because I don't. And I told Tara for years, have you ever seen some smooth-talking politicians? There's a lot of them, ain't there? I'm going to name this one who I always thought was as smooth as any, whether you like him or not, okay? Boys, Bill Clinton could talk his way out of anything. Whether you liked him or not, I'm telling you right now, the man was a talker. He had an ability. If you didn't like him before it was over with, you kind of thought, well, I don't care much for his policies, but he's a pretty good old boy. He had that way about him. There are some politicians that just have that way about them. This guy's going to be like that times a million. Okay, because you're going to have a demonic spirit about him that people are going to be attracted to him, going to be drawn to him. And you ready for this? Me and Tammy was talking about something before church started. The church is gone. The source of information on God's word is gone. The only thing that's left at this point are people that missed the boat. People that may have been raised in Sunday school but didn't accept Jesus Christ. There's still going to be some people that have an idea about the Scripture, but by and large, they don't know what's going to go on. They don't begin to understand who this guy is. As me and Tammy talk, you may have heard something all your life, but there's not going to be people, Jennifer, that can just grab it and say, right here, here's what the Bible says. This is what it says was going to happen, and it's happening. They're gone. They're gone. You got to understand that. Teresa, grab your microphone. Hey, listen, if I don't tell you to get the microphone, Dave will whoop me. Turn it on there. Hit the mute button until it turns green.
Do you think that everything because I have this, my brother-in-law, Jerry Lowe's really good with, you know, he loves the Bible, and he thinks now, since AI, all this artificial intelligence, he thinks the Antichrist, me and him talk really intense about it. Mm-hmm. He said that it really could come to, it could be a robot.
I tell you what, I think it's going to be a man. But I tell you what, I wouldn't be, me and pastors talked about this a little bit about AI on this, that it could eventually, he's going to have power to make this image speak, that he sets up in the temple. Okay, now it's going to be an image, but it's going to appear awful lively. Okay, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised if technology is used to deceive people when that time comes. I do believe he's a real person, but I believe he's going to have a lot of tools at his at his disposal. Does that make sense? Okay. And is anybody else got any questions? Okay. But as she read, the white horse comes, and then she began to read the other horses. And I'm going to just for sake of time, begin to kind of go over. They bring with it war, famine, and economic turmoil. Had a set of balances in its hands. Remember that? A day's wage for a loaf of bread. That's what that means. When you begin to go into what it read there, could you imagine working all day long and you've earned enough, Tammy, to have a loaf of bread that day? That's it. So what's that mean? It's called hyperinflation. How many people can sit here right now and say prices of stuff have went up dramatically here lately? Well, today, me and Tara found ourselves in Walmart wanting to buy a nice set just to enjoy. I love playing horseshoes. Wanted to buy a set of horseshoes. I had every intention of buying a set of horseshoes. You know how much a set of horseshoes at Walmart cost? $44 and something for a set of horseshoes. That used to be $15 all day long, twice on Sunday. Okay? $44. Now, that's just regular inflation. Okay? Hyperinflation is far worse. There's a story that took place that after World War I, when Germany surrendered, World War I, not World War II, and their economy went to pot, so to speak, there was a man that ran to the bank and got all of his money out of the bank in a wheelbarrow. In a wheelbarrow. Okay? Left his wheelbarrow, asked somebody to watch, somebody trust to watch it, while he had to just run and do something and come back. He came back, the money was there, and the wheelbarrow was gone. Because the money was worthless. Hyperinflation. The money was worthless. Okay? A day's wage for a loaf of bread. Could you imagine economic turmoil to the point that the dollar bill was worthless? That's what's going to happen, folks. When the rapture happens, there's going to be a lot of turmoil happen. The tribulation period is not a good period. It's not going to be something you want to be here for. Imagine going to work and earning enough to eat a loaf, to eat that day. And you know what? You're going to be glad to do it because food is going to be scarce. Famine begins to happen too, as she read that. Brother Joe?
Well, is it that where probably the chip would come in? In the hand, in the forehead, or something like, even go to the grocery store or something like that.
Yeah,
because money would be no good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got that chip, and you just go through, and they just scan you.
Sure.
And scan everything you got and
sure.
Stuff.
Let me. Since you brought that up, Brother Joe, let me ask you a question. Everybody here today, there's a few old school people, not many of them left. When you go today, primarily, just by raise of hand, primarily. When you go buy something, whether it's gas or the Dollar General or Pick Pack, wherever you go, how many of you people pay cash or do you use a debit card? Raise your hand. If you use a debit card, raise your hand. Okay. So the majority of people here today uses a debit card for the majority of their transactions. Would we say we agree on that? Okay. That chip is just in your card. Okay. It's in your card. Cash is becoming a thing of the past. We are fastly moving toward a cashless society. Now, could you imagine economic turmoil happens? The society begins to break down, as Brother Joe's alluding to. Somebody's got to bring it all back together. Somebody's got to establish a system of countries trading with one another. I don't want your dollar. Your dollar's worthless. I don't want your yen. It's worthless. I don't want your ruble. It's worthless. Somebody's got to come in and say, hey, we're going to have another system here. Okay, whether they forgive each other's debts or not, I got no idea how that's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, the economy is going to collapse. Shortly after the rapture, the world's economies are going to collapse. Guys, they was people to whoop your hind end for a roll of toilet paper during COVID-19. You remember it? Imagine being hungry. Imagine being hungry and wanting bread. Imagine having children 16, 17-year-old that missed the rapture, them being hungry, mom and dad. You can take so much, but you don't want your children. Imagine your grandchildren that was conceived after the rapture. Or your children that was conceived after the rapture, them going hungry. You can sit and say all day long, you won't take that mark. Think about it. Those are going to be very real things that happen since Brother Joe brought it up, and we're going to get on that way. Herbie, go ahead, brother. Jumped it right in, didn't it? I'm glad you brought that up, brother. Let's get there. It's right here after, okay? Please hold on it and remind me, okay, because we're definitely going to touch on that. But war, famine, economic turmoil, famine. How many of you know when war happens, famine follows? It's a natural thing because you can't plant crops. You've blowed the fields apart. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, that's just going to be natural things that happen. Death and hell are released. And the Bible says a power is given over them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, hunger, death, and all beasts of the earth. Now, that's important. Beasts of the earth, the reason I bring that up, is the Bible is pretty specific that it actually mentions. That's kind of an odd thing to mention, Pastor. Beasts of the earth. Why would that be? Because God gave Adam power over them. Who named them? So that means God gave that. Amen? God takes that right back. And also, that also lets me know they don't have enough food either. So not only are you, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to go up in a cave and this, that, and the other. Good luck. You're going to probably be a grizzly bear's meaty morsel. Because beasts are going to turn against mankind. The Bible is so specific in what it talks about right there, folks. Okay, and it talks about a fourth part of the earth. Remember, that's what it just says, fourth part of the earth. How many remembers us talking about Ezekiel 38? It's going to be a bad destruction that takes place. Right here. This is what it's talking about, right here. War, famine, death, pestilence. Imagine that. The one estimate puts that 83% of the Russian army will be destroyed at Gog Magog. 83%. Guys, they got a huge army. They got way more people in their army than we got in ours. Okay? Not quite as much as China, but there's a whole lot of people. So in other words, right off the bat, quickly, out of the gate, you're going to see a lot of things start happening quickly. Boom, 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 boom. Just like that, after the rapture of the church. Think about that. And for people that want to know, can I be saved? Will there be people saved? We're going to get in that with Scripture. But why would you want to be here? Is what I ask. It's important. What it will take to make it. I feel this. If you can't do it now under free will, I don't think there'll be a lot that will have a chance at all when it's not free will. Okay? But we're going to answer definitely here in a little bit. But I think you've got to get that in your mind before you say. Because here's the concern. If you say somebody's going to be saved, well, I'll just wait till after the rapture. I've heard people say that. That is a false statement. That is a false statement. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that is a false statement. There's going to be strong delusion that's sent to this planet that you're going to you'll believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Bible says. Not only that, but man, do you want to be here for famine and pestilence? I hated 2020. It frustrated me to death to go into a Texas roadhouse. Have to wear my mask in the waiting room. Wear my mask across the floor. But then sit in my seat and those germs can't get me no more so I can take my mask off. You can ask this woman right here. I embarrassed her to death because it frustrated me so much. It's the hypocrisy that we was living under. Yeah. It can't get you. Think about that, guys. And listen. You ready for this? People bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. Still do. Now that being said, sheep, thank you, sir. You don't think they're going to believe everything this guy on this white horse says? Come on, guys. It took one guy with a medical degree and they believed him. Because the government propped him up. They believed him. That guy might have got, man, he could have been, that guy could have been from the pits of hell. I don't know who he was. Didn't know who he was before or since. I'm not saying he was. I'm not knocking the guy, but I'm just saying, they could put anybody up there, Joe. Okay, he says it's okay, we've got to do it. It don't even make sense some of the things that we were able to see in this brief period of time and what's coming. You got something? Grab that microphone. Hold on, grab that microphone.
During that time, we canceled our wedding reception here.
Yes.
Because of all the COVID junk.
Yeah.
So I decided to go to a restaurant with our three kids and their spouses,
sure,
and me and Wani. They would not let more than six people sit at a table. And I was going to push two tables together, and they said, no, we're not allowed to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but this is my kids, and I'm going to hug them in the parking lot.
Right.
You know, stupid. Yeah,
absolutely right. Well, I mean, you take it, you know, not more than six. So I guess that means if you had five kids, mom and dad, one of them's got to sit in the car. You rode in the car to get there, right? But you've got seven, so you can't do that. That's unlawful. That's the ignorance that we went through. But by going through it, can't you see how much easier it is going to be for them to feed it to people? And they're going to buy it. They're going to buy into it. Whether you think they will, they won't. Pastor?
This is for pure comedy, I guess. It doesn't add anything other than how stupid things was during COVID. But we played a softball tournament, travel softball tournament with Emily during COVID, or right when COVID was ending or whatever. They were in the dugout together. But you know how girls softball, when there's an out, everybody comes to the middle and gives everybody high five? They weren't allowed to do that. Hold my hand. They weren't allowed to do that, but they sat in the dugout on top of each other. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what universe are we living in?
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. And as she's getting that mic ready, and let's we forget. It was fine to go to Walmart, but woe to you if you try to go to church. Remember, go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, now we have the Holy Spirit to draw us.
Yes.
And at that moment, mm-hmm, once the church is gone, you're not going to have that Holy Spirit to draw those,
mm-hmm,
people,
mm-hmm,
that are left behind that can be saved.
Yeah. To me, what we are blessed with, the Holy Spirit, should not be taken for granted. I know we preach it and teach it here at this church all the time. David and Abraham would love to be walking to where every person is right here because they didn't have that indwelling, that Holy Spirit. Okay? So those people, when that time comes, they're not going to get some of the blessings that the church has. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's about all I can say about that. You know, for people to want to put it off, that is one of the worst things you can do. The rapture is a reward for being ready when Jesus comes back. And if we're ready when He comes back, He's taking us out of here, and we'll not receive the wrath of God. We'll not participate, because it's not God's will that we do receive the wrath of God. Okay? It's not His will that for that to happen, but that's the gist of it. Pastor?
How close are you to, how close are you to the question here about anybody going to be saved?
Really close.
Because what Jennifer said there sort of.
Mm-hmm. Real close.
Okay.
I'm going to get involved. One of the things that was read by Vicky, I'll go ahead and go on to it, and then we'll kind of get to what Herbie said. And it says, He had opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now we're going to get a little bit more information in the next chapter regarding this same thing. But one of the things that happens when the fifth seal is opened, martyrdom begins. Martyrdom means there's going to be people lose their lives for the gospel. That's going to happen. That's going to happen, guys. The fifth seal has exactly what it says. So in other words, there's going to be something take place. Now let me ask you this. Me and Brother Dave was talking about this. If you're the adversary, okay, the rapture takes place, the church is gone. The primary source of preaching the gospel has been removed from planet Earth. But as we all know, not everyone says, Lord, Lord, is going to go. There'll be people miss the rapture that will not be rapture ready. We know that, okay? Those people are going to be here. And I hate to say this, some preachers, they're not going to forget the gospel. Think about it, guys. You're not going to forget that. You ain't just going to, let's say you're a prophecy man all your life. You're doing something you shouldn't have been doing. Say you was having an affair on your wife or something like that, doing something that was in secret. You missed the rapture. Whatever. He ain't going to forget that. He's going to know what's going on. He ain't going to be an idiot. He's going to know what's going on. And if you're the Antichrist or you're the forces of evil, you got to silence as many people as you can to get over what you're wanting to get over. And you can't have these fanaticals, Joe, saying, repent, repent, repent. There's a man coming. He's going to do this, 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 and this. You got to silence those people. We look at people today that stand on the street corners in New York City with a sign saying, the end is near. Big old long beard. Those are psychotic weirdos. The movies even make them out to be so. Am I telling the truth? Those people will be psychotic weirdos. Won't they just go along with the plan? Don't they realize they've got this new system set up? It's going to be better than what was going on. Go along with this. Man, this guy's got a good idea. This is a good idea. You realize if you do away with cash, you could stop. If you do away with cash, you can stop the drug trade. Think about it. What's a good idea? If we do away with cash, Herbie, we can stop the drug trade. How are they gonna give money for drugs? That's why you need this mark that I've come up with, guys. You got no drugs. Well, you know what we can also do? Man, if your child happens to be abducted, they got on dogs now. Child happens to be abducted, guess what? We know right away where that child's been taken. All those things, Joe.
How strong you think those people are going to be, though, without the spirit, you know, to draw? Because I know when I was under conviction, Christ was everywhere in everything. I mean, billboards, people coming in witnessing to me and all that stuff. Without the drawing of the Spirit, and that Spirit's going to be gone.
The Bible says they were slain for the Word of God and the testimonies which they held.
Yeah. But see,
that's what it says. They were slain for the Word of God, meaning they're telling the Word of God, and the testimony that they held. That tells us why they're slain. So that means they're telling the gospel, and they're saying, this is what it says. You guys better wake up. You better wake up. You better wake up.
Yeah, I was just saying, like at Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit.
Sure, you know, sure.
When they were endued by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
See, they're not going to have that.
Right. I'm not going to say how much Spirit-filled power there's going to be, but they're still going to be the gospel. They're killed for the Word of God and for their testimony. That's what it says. And chapter 7, we'll go a little bit further into that. It gives a little bit more detail about that. Pastor? You got something? I seen you holding it.
So are we into that question now? Or no?
Hold on.
Okay,
give me just
hold
a second.
On.
Okay. At the fifth seal, also right after that, cosmic calamities began to happen. Meteorites began crashing to the earth. Okay, the Bible says that. Heaven rolled back as a scroll. You care to put that up there, brother? See, John sees the heavens rolled like a scroll. That's pretty. If you look behind you, it's probably a better one. Okay? This one over here is probably better than that one. You could see it a little bit better. The point being is, that big where it's rolled, heavens receded like a scroll, for example, that would be, say, where a meteorite hit, and you're seeing the white that's around it. Imagine it being like a wave, a crashing wave in the ocean, this right here, just rolling back. The atmosphere just rolling back. John is seeing the heavens being rolled like a scroll. In other words, if there would be a meteorite strike, if he's sitting here looking, he's trying to put in the words, he's seeing the atmosphere do this right here. If you had a big long scroll,
and you was to let go of it, it would what?
That's what John is seeing. He is seeing it being rolled up like a scroll. So you see cosmic forces start happening, bombarding the earth. Not saying a huge one initially, but small meteorites hitting the atmosphere. What's that do? It blacks out the sun. That hurts the crops. That does all these things. And you want to be here? Oh, my goodness. You don't want to be here. Chapter 7, the 144,000 are sealed. And since Herbie brought this up and Sean's dying to get to this, the 144 in the first chapter, first part of the chapter, 144,000 Jews are sealed. 12,000 from different tribes. I got to make sure you know that. They're Jews. They're not metaphorically this. The Bible mentions 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from that tribe, 12,000 from that tribe, 12,000 from that tribe. Goes all the way down. So 144,000 Jews are sealed. That's what it says. Okay? So that being said, I got no qualms believing they're all Jews. Okay? How many of you remember us talking about the 70th week of Daniel? Remember that? Because God's attention, they've got to receive Jesus as Messiah. Okay? There's going to be a big emphasis placed on the nation of Israel during the tribulation period. So now you've got 144,000 are sealed with God. A lot of scholars believe they preached the gospel during that time period. Okay? So you've got 144,000 that are empowered by God, sealed by God to do something. Right after that, here's what I want to read, and we'll get to her being pastor. Okay? Verse 9 says this. This is after they're sealed. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, you knowest. In other words, John is, you know who it is, sir. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Pastor?
So do you think that there'll be people saved after the rapture?
I believe there'll be, yes. But let me go ahead and say it. First of all, when I was growing up, I was told nobody under any circumstance. And when I would read scripture like this, for example, these ones came out of great tribulation. The Bible says it. There's another scripture that I have to bring up that to me is a very important scripture. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warns those people that are in Jerusalem to flee. And he says, Woe to those who give suck in those days. That is breastfeeding. That's what he warns. Okay, because you're to flee when the Antichrist shows up. And how many of you mothers know it's hard to flee with a nursing child? Can't get very fast. Can't go very far. You understand what I'm saying? If you remember life before kids, then life after kids, Maddie, you remember how fast it was you and Jake can get up and go? Then all of a sudden, now you can't get up and go when you want to because you got little ones you're tugging along. Well, woe to those that give suck in those days. So that tells me, Z, that after the rapture of the church, there has to be children born. I can deduce by common sense if there was a child here and the rapture took place, it was raptured. Make sense? But if you're conceived after the rapture, the oldest you could be possibly would be 6 years and 3 months old after the 7 years. 9 month gestation period. That is if you were conceived very shortly after the rapture of the church, so to speak. You get what I'm saying. So do I believe that 6 year old kids are going to go straight to hell because they was born in tribulation period? Do you? So is anybody going to be saved? Sort of answered your own question a little bit. So there will be some that survive the tribulation period. Absolutely. And according to this scripture here, there will be some. There'll be some that are martyred. They are the souls under the altar. Lord, how long? How long do we have to wait? How long do we have to wait? Just for a little season. Just for a little season. But these people were martyred, guys. Okay? There are Christians being martyred today. I know that. We're lucky in this country. We're blessed in this country. It's not us. Okay? But do you know this, that there were more people martyred for Christianity in the 20th century than all the other centuries combined? In the 20th century, we're in the 21st now. In the 20th century, there was more people martyred for Christianity in the name of Jesus in the 20th century than all other centuries combined. So martyrdom is still taking place. Okay? And Jesus said, if you lay down your life, you'll no way lose it. That's what he said. And I ain't making that up. That's what he said. You know what I mean? Now, do I think it's going to be easy to make it? Absolutely not. Because you're going to go through hell in a handbasket. Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to watch your children starve? Are you willing to watch these things happen? I don't know many it will. And also, you're going to have strong delusion. The Bible makes that. God will send strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, guys. Herbie?
What if you refuse the mark of the beast?
You're going to have to refuse the mark of the beast. The Bible makes it plain. If you receive the mark of the beast, you are eternally lost. You are eternally lost. So you're going to have to receive, you're going to have to, which we've not got to the mark yet. But that why is that? Because it tells us martyrdom's already started before we got there. There's people dying right now. Before the Antichrist is God, he's always power. He's just raising up now, guys. He's just raising up. We're just starting. Okay? The earth that we guys know right now is over early on. It is never going to be the same again. It's over early on. Right now. It's already over, okay? And I know that bit of information that we just hit on is a lot to hear, because you was always taught like me, there ain't going to be nobody making through the tribulation period. Guys, that's what Scripture says. That's not what it says at all. We just read it. Okay? Do I think many will make it through? It says, I don't know. I don't know. It said they're from all kindred tongues and nations and people. So they'll be from all over planet Earth. Jennifer?
Well, I have two questions, I guess, in one. Does the Bible say how many would make it after that time period?
There's a pretty big number. The Bible, but in another spot, it talks about you can't even number it. It's that high.
Okay. How do you get saved after that?
They're going to have to be the same way we do. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father.
No, I mean, like, because they don't have the Holy Spirit to draw them,
We don't know that. Bible doesn't say that.
Okay.
It just doesn't. It doesn't say it.
I'm not arguing with you.
I don't want you to think I disagree with you.
Okay.
But it just don't say that.
Okay.
It just don't say that. Okay. But the Bible said they lost their lives for their word of God and their testimony. Mm-hmm. That's all I can go by. That being said, they were faithful to the word and they refused to renege that Jesus was their Savior.
Okay.
That's all it says. You know what I mean? I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I don't want you to think that. But I'm telling you what it says right here was for the word of God and their testimony. That's what it says. That's what the Scripture says. Anybody else? Go ahead, brother.
Do you believe that what you talked about earlier, those Christians that didn't make it through, that's basically what word is brought into the tribulation period?
I think
that's the ones that's going to be beheaded because they knew the word. And now they realize they messed up and this is the way they have to make it.
I think that is probably a large source of it, Jason. I'm glad you brought that up. Because it says this, that they made their robes white. As if when he came back, they wasn't white. They made their robes white and they had palms. That's a victory, a symbol of victory. They got victory over the forces of evil. Okay, and then what does Jesus do? One of the rewards he's talking about, he's giving them there. They got plenty to eat. They got plenty to drink. They're not in pain no more. Why? Because on planet Earth, they didn't have plenty to eat. They didn't have plenty to drink in the tribulation. It was all taken from them. You know what I mean? It's a time of hell on Earth. And one of the things that he notices right away with those people is they had plenty to eat. They had plenty to drink. That's one thing he mentions. Why? Because they wasn't like that when they were left here, I think. Herbie?
Where the two prophets come in, are they preaching to the
I told you this boy knows Bible. I told you this boy knows. You're talking about two witnesses.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I'm hoping that tonight, but I'll be honest with you, I can't guarantee that tonight. Anybody else got any questions? Anybody else got any questions? Anybody at all? I'm not in no hurry. Yes, sir. Just give you a mic.
Do you think there'll be a place where people can go to, like, kind of, like, try to get closer to God.
You talking about places to worship?
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor, I've heard you say this many times. What are small groups? Small groups are what the original church started out doing. They went from house to house, right? And who knows, one of these days, if it don't have to return to that. I absolutely believe that during a tribulation period, those people that will not accept, those that we're talking about here right now, will not have the advantage of coming to this building right here. They can gather. They may be out in the bushes, up in the mountains, at somebody's farm, somebody's barn, whatever. They might be able to do that. But I believe that eventually, and I think the longer you go into it, they get hunted more and more. And it would be kind of like the, and this is the only analogy I can use, really. You remember, you guys, when during World War II, if you got any history at all, you remember how the Germans initially started deporting some of the Jews little by little, then all of a sudden they was hunting them. And they were sending them out in mass. I think it's going to be very similar to that when it comes to Christians. You're going to have a mark on you, bad, if you're a Christian during that time, or claim Christ as your Savior. Pastor?
And that's probably going to be because, I mean, other than the fact that we know that's what it's all about, is he's got to have justification for this religion, so to speak. You know what I mean? To persecute Christians. And if you've ever noticed, like, nobody really persecutes other religions.
Yep.
It's just Christians. And it's because we have the understanding and we preach there's one way. People don't like that. And so when he was talking about, you know, who's going to reset the economy and all this, and he's going to have answers to all these problems, I've always said one of the biggest answers to the answer to the biggest, probably maybe the biggest problem in the world is religions. How many wars start over?
That's right.
I mean, 99, they can call it what it is, but 99%, especially in the Middle East, all those start over religion. So what way better to unify everybody than to go, look, the world's in turmoil. We need to quit fighting. Let's just agree that however you worship is how you worship. And we see that on scales now, little by little, with all these, you know, whatever lifestyles and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? So the answer is going to be, let's just, and here's what we're going to worship, and everybody's going to worship it, and they're not going to bother other religions because we're the only religion that says no. Mm-hmm. We're not going to bow to, you know, that God. And so I think that's why more and more we're going to see the move as the spirit of the Antichrist that you talked about gets larger and more dominant. Those are the signs of the rapture or the coming of the Lord that intrigue me the most.
Deception. Like, the deception.
And I can't tell you how many, like, since I've been here, I've been warning people, it's all about deception. It's all about deception. Everybody says, well, you know, this and that, and look for this and look for that. It's all about deception. And the longer we go, the more people are easily deceived.
Yes.
It's just the fact of the matter that, and as AI grows, to touch on that, as AI grows and we use our brains less and machines more to think for us, we're going to get dumber.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the truth. We're going to follow things and what people said, like COVID. Like, there's been great examples given here.
How many kids can write cursive today?
Right. Yeah.
It's true.
And, I mean, how many kids know how to spell because of autocorrect?
Yep.
You know, I mean, a lot of them think that you spell you, you. You know, a lot of them think you is actually how you spell you, but it's Y-O-U. You know what I mean? And we're not picking on kids. We're just saying technology changes things so much, and you quit thinking for yourself, and it's easier to go with the crowd, and then you throw in the tribulation and how the economy is going to be, they're not thinking for themselves, and they're just going to, you know. That's why I personally think, and this is, you know.
And speaking of AI, I'm glad you brought that up. I listen about every morning. I listen to YouTube, but I'll pick a preacher that I'm listening to. I'm stuck on David Jeremiah right now. But anyway, I have noticed something about that on YouTube. Not every single one of them is from one of his messages. I'll say this, it's not a live message. You can tell some of them are bits and pieces parceled together. That's AI. And right now you can tell it. Mm-hmm. But when it gets better and better, you're not going to be able to tell it. So they can slide in that David Jeremiah said this. Or this preacher said that.
Yeah.
And, oh man, did you hear? He said that, boy, so it must be okay.
Yeah. Yes. That's something that's sort of spooky about that. I told some of the guys that come to my house there that teach and preach and we get together there. That's like, well, everybody knows I do softball and I make my own softball videos. Like, I don't even do the commentary on my videos. 11 Labs is what it's called. I uploaded 25, 30 minutes of me talking, and it does it for me now. And can you tell the difference? Well, and that's because I clean it up some. Like, I can take a little bit of hick out of it. You know what I'm saying? Or I can leave it just, you know what I mean?
So in five years, how much closer is it going to be? 10 years, how much closer is it?
Well, I mean, even right now, if I took all of the clean up the hick out of it,
yeah,
you couldn't tell. It would be Sean Walker's voice, and I make all my videos. Like, I don't even say a word. It does it for me from a transcript that I put in that I generate from AI.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's so easy, but you got to be careful with all that. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. I showed those guys, like, the stuff I use AI, like if I'm studying something, I upload all of it. But you can control what you upload, and that's the important thing, is you can control what you can upload, and then I'll have it make a podcast. And it's two people doing a podcast about the stuff that I want to know about, and I can listen to it all week.
But the difference of that is he knows the truth.
Right. And you can pick what you want
in there.
If
you don't know the Bible,
yeah,
you can be easily fooled that way.
And as much as people are lacking,
yes,
scriptural foundation
and
now,
more so then
AI and, like you said, all that stuff, that's why I say it's all about deception in the end. And it is so hard for me to believe that. Like, when I read that, I sort of see that the nations and the tongues and the kindred, mm-hmm, I sort of see that as a glimpse of all the martyrs from you know, I guess I would say Abel, mm-hmm, all the way up, because Abel died really for testimony. I see all those gathered there. I just don't see a multitude of people coming through this tribulation. Mm-hmm. The only people I see now, people that are born into those, all that,
mm-hmm,
God's got whatever going on for that. But unless, to me, that's my conviction, unless you were born again and got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, I just don't see you being saved. And now, if you're backslid or whatever, not ready to go, if your lamp's not trimmed,
mm-hmm,
absolutely. I can see you going, no, I ain't taking the mark.
And that right there is what he's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That is what he's seeing. This is just starting out. That's what he's seeing. He's seeing the initial bloodshed. And as one of you brought up, I do think it's from those that missed the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, largely that missed the boat are trying to lead people to Christ. Jeffrey, and then Herbie.
Okay, so this comes with what Pastor Sean's saying. The deception's not later. The deception's now.
Absolutely.
Because those that are not scripturally sound, on TikTok, I was watching it.
Yep.
AI has come to the point to where it can take well-known preachers, take their image,
yep,
take their voice,
sure,
and it shows them in their congregation.
Absolutely.
Preaching something that's not biblical.
Yeah.
But then it's also, it's the same message. multiple churches, mm-hmm. multiple big known preachers, and it was not biblically sound, and it was because it was made from someone trying to harm the church
right.
with this AI.
Sure. I get it.
And if you are not scripturally sound and you're not studying,
you that, will be deceived.
You don't know.
You'll be
that
deceived.
That's wrong.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. Herbie? Great point, Jeff.
Well, there's like the mark of the beast. Ain't they a mark of God, too?
Yeah, well, the 144 are sealed right there. That's what I talk about. They'll be sealed. There'll be something about them that's identifiable, you know, that they are God's. You know, absolutely agree with that.
Along the lines of what Jeffrey's talking about there, and you know what? It's not – the scary thing is it's not going to be all the time that and something so blatant. Like I saw, and I'm putting two and two together, and Kelly tells me all the time I don't know what people are thinking, but I'm pretty sure I do. Like I saw a Facebook post today, and because I know of a situation and things of that nature, like somebody posted something that looks, you know what I mean? They give scripture, and blah, 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 and then they make a point from it, and because I know that situation, I go, man, they found a way to make that scripture say what they want to justify, sure. and they're posting it, period. That, what happened there has nothing to do with the context of what you're trying to put it in. And I think that's the scary thing is when people take the scripture and don't just outright lie about yeah, it or whatever. But they just, that's what the devil done. Remember when he said,
yeah, absolutely.
If you are who you are, say throw yourself down because it says, lest at any time you dash your foot against stone. That ain't what it said. You know what I mean? It wasn't lest at any time. In other words, the devil was trying to push the scripture and say that everything was taken and
yes.
all Jesus had to do was jump and he'd be taken care of because he'd never allow anything to happen. The devil twisted that. If you jump off cliff, you know what I mean? God's not under any kind of restraint to get his angels. You shouldn't have jumped off the cliff. But the enemy twisted it just that much. And I think that's the scariest thing is
yeah.
it's not going to be the stuff that you go, oh, my gosh, that's plumb horrible. You know, I seen a guy preaching the other day. And, you know, it is what it is. But to me, it was just a mockery of it, like some of the stuff he was doing in the pulpit. And he was doing it for a whatever, supposedly making a point, but it was such a mockery, and I mean hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people sitting under him. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's scary.
Yeah, it's also important to remember a little bit what you talked about too there, brother, but the Antichrist, the word Antichrist, it don't mean that he's against Christ. It also means that he wants to be in the place of Christ. That's a big thing to remember. Anti, it's not that, in other words, he's against every word of God. No, he wants to be Christ. He wants to be God, okay? Right now, you've got the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. During the tribulation period, you're going to have the unholy Trinity. You're going to have Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Okay, that's what you're going to have. The Antichrist being the Son, Satan being the Father, the false prophet being the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what they want, okay? So there will be a religion during the tribulation period. We'll get into that. There will be a religion in the tribulation period. And you're going to, whenever you receive that mark that we're talking about, eventually we'll get to talk about more, you're not just receiving that economic system. You're receiving Him as your God. Make no mistake about it. That's what you're doing. You are buying into the system, which is an economic system, and a religious system, okay? You're going to bow to it. You're going to accept that. And you're going to be saying, look, this guy, who is like the beast? That's what the Bible says. Who is like him? Who can make war with a beast? You know what he's going to do? You know what he's going to achieve, Michael? He's going to achieve Middle East peace. Think about that. Has anybody in their lifetime ever done it? No. He's going to sign a covenant with the nation of Israel, and they're going to begin to build their temple. Now, if they would build the temple where it's supposed to right now, you know where that is? Where the mosque is. The Golden Dome. If they would go to do that right now, World War III would break loose. That's it. How's this man do this? He's got to be the one. He's got to be the Messiah. He's got to be him. Who else could he be, Teresa? That's what they're going to be saying. It's not that he's going to have to trick them. They're going to accept him. That's what you got to understand. Those people that don't accept him are going to be the rare breed. You got to understand that.
That's why it cracks me up when certain politicians, like, and everybody, if they don't like him, you know what I mean, at some point they're called the Antichrist. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Everybody likens either Trump to Antichrist or Barack Obama. You know what I'm saying? And every time I hear that, I'm thinking, that's nuts, because you got a lot of people that don't like them. Like, yeah. The Antichrist is going to be somebody that everybody goes, this guy's the guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
even Israel will love him at first. It's not until he goes in the temple at the middle of the tribulation period and he sets himself up at God that the Jews are going to go, whoa. The Ten Commandments say this. This ain't it. You know what I mean? That's when that's when he's going to turn against them.
Is he of Jewish descent?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Personally, I'm telling you where I think he rises out of. Ooh, boy, I didn't know he was going here. According to Daniel. Daniel had the statue, the king, of the head of the golden, and he goes on down. And Daniel goes all the way through down to the Romans. Okay, this right here, down, had two legs. It was made of iron, I believe it was. This was made of iron. Why does that represent Rome? Because the Roman Empire split, east and west. Most people don't know that. You had Rome, and then you had Constantinople in Turkey, which was the capital. The Roman Empire split east and west. One leg, two legs of the statue. But the beast rises out of the feet, out of the toes of it, which is clay mired with iron or something like that, and it don't gel enough. So in other words, I think he's going to rise up out of the old Roman Empire. Okay, a lot of people believe it could be the European Union that begins to take a dominant form after the rapture of the church, and he comes through that economic system. Some people believe that. I'm not saying he is, but I do believe he comes from that area because that's where Daniel saw him come out of.
But could he be of Jewish descent coming out of that area?
That's possible. That might be possible. But I believe he comes out of the old Roman Empire, which does include the nation of Israel. They controlled the nation of Israel. It just wasn't a country at the time.
The reason I say that, and I don't know if you got into this last week or what, Daniel 11, did you get into Daniel 11 any? So
he changes the times and
do you see that as the Antichrist talk? Daniel 11.
I think that he will change their way of worship when it's talking about that, the holy days and stuff.
And in Daniel 11:36 says, the king shall do according to his will and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god.
Yes.
And speak marvelous things against God and the gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Antichrist to me.
Yeah.
And then in verse 37 it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers.
Right.
And then this is where I also think he's either I don't know what to say here. Well, I'll just let you draw your own conclusions. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, which makes me feel like he's either Islam or Jewish.
Yeah. He comes from some kind of religious
Abraham
form.
Type of stuff, because God is capitalized there.
And see, here's the thing. I think it's important to understand this. He's not going to say he's the one right out of the bat.
Oh, no.
Because people would go, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
There's going to be common sense to this thing. He's going to have to show that he... before he is emboldened to do that.
But when it says regard the God of his fathers, that word God, and there's other times where it's not capitalized, this capitalized.
Right.
So that's why I feel like he could be, you know what I mean? I'm not saying he is.
Then religious it says, descent.
Nor the desire of women.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's going to necessarily be married, or he could be what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nor, does anybody need help with that? Y'all got that? Nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all.
Yes. And I think it's also important as he's reading that, I don't want to be jumping ahead, but we are. No, you're fine. It's right on par with it. But it's important to understand before the Antichrist really grabs control, like he does, Revelation chapter 12, that everybody considers the weird one, the weird chapter. My gosh, a dragon. And he's about to eat a child. A woman's about to give birth to a child, and he's about to eat it. Man, what in the world's all that mean? That right there is when Satan loses access to the heavens. Because I don't know, you guys know this right now. Satan has access to heaven right now. Remember with Job? God comes to, Satan comes to it. He shows up. And have you considered my servant Job? Okay, that being said, he's cast down in chapter 12. Accused of the brethren is what it calls. Accused of the brethren that accused them day and night. Okay, he's cast down. He loses access. Okay, he loses access to the second heaven even. Michael comes and slings him down. Okay, and what's he do at that point? He goes and possesses the Antichrist. He gives himself entirely over. I think there's two people that's been possessed by Satan. One's already lived, and one ain't here yet. I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about Satan himself. There's been a lot of people been evil, demonically possessed. But I believe Judas was one of them because Satan entered him. It says it. And I believe this man right here will give himself over and he'll be possessed. So when he really gains boldness and when he really gains power, he's going to be possessed. I believe. But I believe he himself is evil to begin with and gets himself in a position where he's that way. See? Z's eating this up. I know Z loves prophecy.
I could have a lot of questions, but I just wanted the most one that I'm thinking about now is, it says in Scripture that even the elect will be fooled. Mm-hmm. Are they talking
before? Matthew 24, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Are they talking before the rapture, after the rapture, any time of the, what is it that they're talking
about?
We're
not talking about the church. The church is not Matthew 24. I know that's hard to understand. We're probably going to do a teaching separately on Matthew 24, I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
Matthew 24 and then Revelation, those two places, the only three places really that mentions great tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And with it mentioning the Lamb of God a lot in that chapter, that's why I'm so sort of staunch on the fact that I'm just not sure how many Gentiles are going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've been born again. Now, I think those are going to be saved. You know what I mean? But I don't know how many is going to be convinced after that, because Great Tribulation, Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation, is sort of geared toward, and then the Lamb, like
the great,
when everything
the Great
turns.
Tribulation starts about the middle point.
Yeah.
You got 3.5 years of tribulation, and the Great Tribulation, when it really amplifies up, is at that midpoint of the tribulation period. And I think from that point on, it gets fewer and far between.
That's why a lot of people actually think that after 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years, not to muddy the waters, just to let everybody know that, you know what I mean, there's people that believe that. A lot of people believe that the church is going to be here for the first 3.5, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a midpoint rapture, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Z. I'm sorry.
Well, I still don't know exactly when this
the very elect.
Who are they talking about? The elect?
Talking about the Jews.
The Jews, and it actually says if it's possible.
If it was possible, he
if
would.
If it was
he
possible,
would, the very elect.
That's why I sort of think that the very elect could be the 144,000.
Well, he also mentions too, Z. If you remember, it says, "Pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath." It's in there too, but because of the elect, if the days wouldn't be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But because of them, the days shall be shortened. That's what it talks about. That is not a 24-hour period. That means a set period of time. Mm. In other words, what God is saying is, if I gave this Antichrist, if I gave this beast, same one, unlimited time, he would wipe out the nation of Israel. The elect would be wiped out, gone. But because of them, the days will be shortened. I will only give him 3.5 years. Because if I gave him more, he would do away with Abraham's seed. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to do that because I made a promise to Abraham. You know what I mean? That's the elect he's talking about. You got to understand, Matthew 24, guys, the mystery of the church has not been revealed. That's what we struggle with. We struggle with that. It's not been revealed yet. He's talking to some Jewish boys. Show us. What are they asking? Show us what's, you know, show us all this. When he said that the temple was going to be destroyed, what, show us all this. They were basically asking him what Daniel wanted to know too. So what they were basically saying, show us what's going to happen to us. When are you going to restore the kingdom, Lord? That's what they kept asking him, when he went up. They didn't get the church. They had no idea about the church. So Jesus ain't going to introduce the church to them. He's going to introduce this right here to the nation of Israel. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Let him that's in Judea flee the mountains. Don't come. If you're up on the mountain, a rooftop, don't come down to take anything. Get out of town. Woe to those that are with suck in those days. Pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath. What that means is the Jews could only travel so far on a Sabbath day without breaking the Sabbath law. And guess what? You're going to need to be able to get further out of town than that requires of you. That's what he's saying. So those Jews would understand that, what he was saying, because it's a persecution toward the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Well, it says elect in the KJV. Yeah, yeah. It says elect in the KJV. Yeah, it says the elect. I personally do not believe the church is Matthew 24. I don't. I think it flies in the face of just too much. I just think it flies in the face of too much. And I think it ties right in with Thessalonians when he talks about him setting up in the temple as God. It goes along with exactly what Jesus was saying was going to happen in Matthew chapter 24. But anybody else? Anybody else got any questions? Okay. Last thing, because I don't want to have to go over this, but just tells you how bad it gets, okay? Okay? In chapters 8 and 9, I'm just going to read some calamities that happen. That's it, okay? And then we're going to take questions and be done. Chapters 8 and 9, this is what happens. Trumpet judgments begin. Hell, fire mingled with blood. Ready for this? One-third of the vegetation on planet Earth is burnt up. One-third of the vegetation and the grass on planet Earth is burnt up. One-third. Guys, that's a lot. Okay? If one-third's burnt up, guess what else it's going to be hard to do? Breathing's going to be way more labored because there's not as much oxygen on this planet. Hell, fire mingled with blood as one-third's burnt up. A huge meteorite, you care to throw up, Brother Dave, right here. Wormwood, the Bible mentions it, okay. Huge meteorite will hit the world's ocean. One-third of life in the sea is killed, as well as one-third of all ships, okay. Something similar happens again, which is wormwood, as Brother Dave put it on there. But guess what it hits? It don't hit the oceans. It hits the world's freshwater supply. And it becomes bitter, is what the Bible says. That's what wormwood means, bitter. So in other words, Brother Joe, a meteorite crashes, something crashes into the ocean and destroys one-third of life in the ocean, and then something hits the freshwater supply, which means now we can't find fresh water to drink. It's become bitter or toxic. Anybody ever heard of acid rain? That's what would poison water supply. So now that's happening in chapters 8 and 9. Things are only getting worse. Then it says, destruction is so bad that the sun, the moon, and stars are blacked out. The sun only shines for a few hours a day, further destroying the crops. And ready for this? John even sees locust-like creatures attacking men and tormenting men that they would rather die from the pain they're going through. And then four angels, which are bound in the Euphrates rivers, are loosened out, and they go about. So in other words, what is happening is you've got all these calamities that's happening on planet Earth, and demonic forces are released. Now, do you want to be here for that? Do you want to be here for that? Demonic forces are going to be released on this planet, and they are going to deceive. You think a man can deceive you? Imagine demons. This is chapter 8 and 9. Yeah, you're getting there. Yeah, you're getting there. The witnesses ain't showed. Well, they have showed up, but they ain't showed up yet. But in other words, the destruction is only getting worse and worse. So when you ask that question, and I knew we was going to go there. I told Dave before we started, didn't I, Dave? I said, this is going to be the big topic we're going to be talking about today. Can anybody be saved in a tribulation period? The reason I will never give an out yes is you need to understand what's going on. You don't want to be here for this. I think it's going to be very few people, going by my experience of human beings, including myself, that will have the ability to resist all of this, that will be willing to lay down their life, that will be able to stand firm and do these things. I don't know many people that would do it, and I just don't think it's going to be easily done.
Well, see, I was always taught,
if you're a backslidden Christian at the time,
growing up, if you refused the mark of the beast, you would still go to hell, but you would reign on earth 1,000 years with Jesus.
No.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Well, you know what? Keep tuning in. We'll get into that. Keep tuning in. But I'm going to tell you right now, you've got some Bible in you, son. I'm telling you, you got some Bible in you. Anybody else got any questions? We're going to have to do a detour on Matthew 24. I can already tell that. And if you remember, what I asked you guys to read last time was Matthew 24, and I meant to get into it, but I didn't think I could cover it all. That's why I didn't. Did anybody else got any questions? We're getting toward 8:30. We're going to wrap this thing up. Nobody got any questions? Okay, God bless you.